Hello, everybody. My name is Ella Muller, and you're listening to the Serial Killers of the Soviet Union podcast. Today, we're actually talking about one of the most famous serial killers in Ukraine and Soviet Union, and his name is Alexander Berlizov, or Alexander Berlizov. He was born in 1946 in Dnipropetrovsk, now it's called Dnieper, Ukrainian SSR. His family was complete. The upbringing of the boy was done by his father and mother, who moved to the Stavropol territory in the 60s. Berlizov always had a warm relationship with his parents. Growing up, he often visited them and stayed in his parents' house for a long time. Alexander grew up an active but unremarkable child who did not shine in his studies. After graduating from 8 classes, he went to continue his studies at a vocational school. After graduating from college, the young man got a job as an electrician at the Yuzhmash factory in Dnipropetrovsk, which was famous for the production of space rocket technology. For Berlizov, this was an undoubted success. Not everyone was taken to the secret factory. All candidates underwent a tough examination. Having merged into the Yuzhmash team, Berlizov showed activity and leadership qualities that did not go unnoticed. Already at the age of 18, a young worker headed the Komsomol organization of one of the workshops. At the same time, Berlizov became interested in criminalistics, studied the practice of investigating various criminal cases, and even joined the factory operational detachment, whose members voluntarily helped police catch criminals. What pushed Berlizov to the path of violence and murder remained a mystery. It is possible that, like many other maniacs, the young man had difficulty communicating with the opposite sex. In any case, during the period when Berlizov committed his crimes, he had no relations with the girls. 23-year-old Alexander made his first attack in 1969. He was following a woman who was returning home late at night and attacked her from behind. Tearing a kerchief from a victim, Berlizov began to strangle her until she lost consciousness, and then raped and took some personal belongings from the victim. The stolen did not represent any material value. Berlizov simply kept this trophies. He did not finish off the victim, reasoning that the woman had not seen him and therefore could not identify. Berlizov used the scheme further, over and over again, attacking women walking alone along the dark streets of Dnipropetrovsk. But between the attacks, the maniac paused for a long time, but because the police did not initially tie them in one series. In addition, not all victims of Berlizov's hands turned to law enforcement agencies, not wanting publicity. Nevertheless, after almost 2 years, the police realized that the same criminal was attacking women in Dnipropetrovsk, and he began to go on the hunt, in quotes, more often. In addition, Berlizov began to kill. During one of the attacks, the maniac noticed that the woman had come to her senses and was looking at him. There was no chance of surviving for the victim. Berlizov strangled her out of fear that she could describe him. After this incident, the maniac began to kill everyone who could see his face during the attack. The police of Dnipropetrovsk tried to hide that they were investigating a whole series of rapes and murders. But despite this, panic began in the city. Terrible stories about a mysterious criminal who was named the Night Demon went from the house to house, and women tried not to go out alone at night in the dark without urgent need. It got to the point that the Dnipropetrovsk enterprises revised schedules and cancelled the second and third shifts for workers. Now women worked only during daylight hours, and after work they were met and seen off by relatives. Residents of the city filled up the party of the Soviet bodies with complaints of police inaction, although law enforcement officers worked with sweat. Field investigators and district police officers checked all former convicts of Dnipropetrovsk who had a criminal record of rape. Police tried everything they could, but all efforts were in vain. And Berlizov continued to attack. At the same time, he led the operational detachment of Yuzhmash workers and was aware of the police developments in his case. And this allowed the maniac to elude from detectives over and over again. For example, he had learned in advance that powerful reinforcements were coming to the aid of the Dnipropetrovsk police. About 3,000 officers of the Ministry of Internal Affairs from Moscow and other regions arrived to catch the maniac under the leadership of the Deputy Minister of Internal Affairs of the Ukrainian SSR, Lieutenant General Ivan Bondarenko. According to some reports, the capture of the night demon became task number one for law enforcement agencies, thanks to the Secretary General of the CPSU Central Committee, Leonid Brezhnev. He studied and began his party career in Dnipropetrovsk and therefore took what was happening to heart in order to take all possible measures for the fast capturing of the offender. Police officers maximized patrolling of the city streets in the evening and at night, and also checked all the nooks, attics, and basements. Police officers and female volunteers from the Komsomol asset specially walked around Dnipropetrovsk at night. They tried to catch the night demon on live bait and parks and squares. It was rumored that for these purposes, even some field investigators dressed as women. The maniac was guarded all night. There was no result. He seemed to fall through the ground. The night demon was hiding. Berezov knew perfectly well both about the patrol routes and the masquerade, in quotes, and therefore decided to lie down. The operation to capture him failed, and the law enforcement officers seconded to Dnipropetrovsk returned to their homes. Almost immediately after this, a new attack occurred in the city, the victim of which was a young woman. She was raped and killed. The night demon seemed to mock detectives. No wonder the maniac studied the basics of forensics. Thanks to these lessons, he knew how to cover his tracks. Berezov tried not to leave shoe prints, collected cigarette butts, carefully wiped traces of sperm, and never spat on crime scenes. He feared that seminal fluid and saliva might become biological evidence against him. But once, the night demon nevertheless made a mistake. On the freshly fallen snow, there were traces of his shoes, and he wore expensive imported boots, which arrived in Dnipropetrovsk in a limited batch. However, this clue at first did not help the police at all, because when buying shoes, the passport data was not asked from anyone. The detectives worked out another clue. They noticed that every victim of the maniac lost something from his personal belongings. The detectives suggested that the night demon would try to sell the stolen goods through city thrift stores and took them under surveillance, but this maneuver was not crowned with success. Meanwhile, the maniac changed his tactics. Knowing that the police were hunting him at night, he first decided to attack in the afternoon, and went to the family dormitory of employees of the Dnipropetrovsk Metallurgical Institute. Berezov knew that an engineer of the institute lives in one of the rooms with his wife and 6-month-old daughter, and the head of the family is at work during the day. The door was not locked. The maniac quietly entered the room and attacked the woman. Like many times before, he strangled the victim until she lost her consciousness and raped her. But when Berezov was about to leave, the child woke up and cried. From the cry of the child, his mother woke up, but fortunately she did not betray herself and only slightly opened her eyes. The woman saw the face of Berezov and forever remembered him. Soon, police arrived at the hostel, more of a dormitory, actually. When the law enforcement officers realized that the woman was the first to see the face of the night demon and survived, they tried to compose a photograph of the suspect based on her words. This did no succeed, but the victim assured the operatives that she would be able to identify the maniac if she saw him live. And now I'm going to talk about a situation that later was called a tramp escape. The detectives decided to look for a maniac along with the surviving victim. A woman in the company of one of the operatives began to appear in a variety of crowded places, from museums and theaters to markets and shops. Everywhere she gazed steadily at men's faces, and once, a month after the start of the operation, she saw the one she was looking for. As always, in the company of a policeman, a woman was riding a tram, and suddenly she noticed Berlizov among the passengers. Horror seized her, and she only with her eyes, a little noticeably, pointed the operative to the maniac. He went to the Berlizov, but he wasn't there. The night demon also recognized his victim, instantly assessed the situation, and rushed to the door of the tram. Having opened the wings, the maniac jumped out of the tram and jumped off the tram on the go and disappeared. However, this case was a turning point. The investigator carefully examined the appearance of the suspect and helped to compose his image. After that, Police Department of Dnipropetrovsk received orientation on the maniac, some of whom were sent on duty to post the city enterprises. One of them turned out to be Regime Yuzhmash. Soon a policeman on duty at the checkpoint announced that a man who looked like a suspect was working at the factory. Berlizov, confident in his elusiveness, was not going to leave the city and continued to calmly go to work. The detectives observed him and soon became convinced this is exactly the one they were looking for. Berlizov did not just look like a photo robot. She wore those very imported boots, traces of which remained at one of the crime scenes. For sanctioning the arrest of the suspect, investigators turned to the original prosecutor, but suddenly they ran into a problem. A senior representative of the supervisory authority refused to believe that such a respected person as Alexander Berlizov could be a criminal. True, the prosecutor still authorized the search of his home, and this was enough to confirm the suspicions of the detectives. As it turned out, under his mattress, Berlizov kept another trophy, a collection of poems by one of the Ukrainian poets owned by one of the victims. The detectives managed in time. The maniac just did not have time to take the book to his repository of trophies, which he arranged in his parents' house in Stavropol. But the searches, as the result, went there too. In the course of that, the investigators discovered Berlizov's cache. In it, the maniac carefully kept everything stolen from his victims: lipstick, handbags, a mirror, combs, jewelry, underwear. Now it was pointless to unlock, and Berlizov, who at first laughed the investigators in the eye, began to sob and repent. Talking about dozens of his crimes, the maniac assured investigators that he had realized his guilt and would never return to the criminal path. Although at heart, the night demon understood. His only chance to avoid capital punishment was a psychiatric examination and recognition of insanity. But Berlizov hoped in vain. Psychiatrists, of course, found him to have a disorder, sexual psychopathy, but at the same time, experts unanonymously concluded that the accused was responsible and was aware of what he was doing. After such a medical opinion, the death sentence did not surprise anyone. The defendant was convicted of 9 murders and 42 rapes. The first official recognized sex maniac of the USSR, Alexander Berlizov, was shot in a pretrial detention center in Dnipropetrovsk in 1972. So this is how it went. This person literally changed the lives of the whole of people who lived in the city, Dnipropetrovsk. And there is actually a documentary film called The Night Demon from the cycle No Time Limit about him. So I hope you liked today's episode and you enjoyed listening to the story and you found something interesting in it. Please be nice, people. Don't commit any crimes. I'm begging you, be nice. And hey, we just made our Instagram account. You can find us by just writing Soviet Union Killers in Instagram and you'll find us there. Thank you so much for listening. It's really important for me. Please subscribe to our Instagram. We're trying our hardest to make it look good. Anyway, thank you so much and see you next time. Bye!